If one more time, if you feel like standing while we sing, feel free to do so. Number 598. I can understand if you don't want to stand. Sometimes you just get tired, you know. 598. Standing on the cross. Bible and hold it up in the air. Just hold it up there. All right, y'all. Now, what are you bringing a Bible to church for? All right. That's because that's what we want to look into is the Word of God, the Bible. That's the most important thing. I didn't see anybody hold your baptismal certificate up, or your good works. No, right here, the Word of God. All right, Jason, you got something for us? Okay.
Easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. But don't faith, child, 'cause you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley when things go wrong. He'll make them right, and the God of the good times is still God in the bad times, the God of the day. Still God in the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations, and that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley when things go wrong. He'll make them right, and the God of the good times, still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley when things go times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day, he's still God in the night.
Only the Lord can make them right. And he can, and he will, and he wants to, if you are willing to let him make it right. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. We're going to finish this message about the two men who were filled with devils and demons. And we were talking about this last week, and we want to finish this up here. Jesus cast out the devils. In Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 28, this is an incident in the life of Christ. And here it is. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters.
And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Let's pray. Our Father, help us as we look at this incident, that we would learn some things about how evil the devil is and his demons. Help us to see that we need to be equipped so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. We thank you for what happened to these men that day. They were released from possession, and they were freed from demonic influence. And we thank you that Jesus can do that. And we thank you for all that he has done for us, not only for these two men in the passage here, but for all sinners when he died on the cross for their sins. Help us, Lord, to learn some good things out of thy word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus cast out the devils. This shows the Lord's power over evil spirits. That's why this account is in here. The book of Matthew, of course, presents Jesus as the King of Israel, and he has power over evil spirits. Just prior to this, he had power over the weather and over the sea. He calmed the sea when the sea was tumultuous and the water was coming into the ship. He woke up and he told the sea to be quiet, and it did. Now we see him having power over evil spirits as well. Matthew's gospel tells us of two men that came to him out of the Gergesenes. It's close to Gadara. The other accounts, Luke and Mark, talk about it as the maniac of Gadara. And they were controlled by demons. Now, how these many demons got into these men, I believe over a period of time, these men just gave themselves over to the service of Satan and his demons. And they basically possessed this man. And they were moving these men to do these various things that they did. And then I stopped and began to look at the difference between demon possession and influence. We saw that these spirits that were in this man are bodiless spirits and seek a body to do their work. And that's why they requested that if the Lord was going to cast them out of these men, that they be allowed to enter into the swine. And of course, you know what happened to the swine. The spirits in these two men are wicked, unclean, and vicious. We talked about how that they walked around in the tombs. Isn't it interesting that when the devil is influencing you, death seems to be the thing you like to think about and talk about and live with? Tombs. They were naked, it says. They had unusual strength. In the other accounts, it indicates that they tried to chain these men and to tie them up, but they couldn't. They had unusual strength to break the chains and to wander about. They were uncontrollable. No one can control them. They were self-inflicting, and they were not in their right mind. I had something to say, as you remember last week, about all those characteristics of the men, such as tombs, naked, unusual strength, uncontrollable, self-inflicting, not in their right mind. And I kind of equated those characteristics of demon possession to a lot of the things going on in our own world today and in our country today and among our youth of today. Some of these very characteristics are being acted out on a daily basis by our youth, which makes me wonder, are they in their right mind or are they being controlled by Satan and demonic activity? I look at the modern music scene and rock and roll, and I see the dancing that goes on that looks like, how can they even do these actions and so forth? They're super powerful. They're superhuman. It could be that they're demonically possessed in order to do these things. I would warn you also of the children's toys. The toy world today seems to be all focused in on demonic activity, power from outer space, or, you know, a special ring that kind of shines up on a planet out there and brings you superpower. You know, you have all kinds of strength and everything. Where's this coming from? It's not coming from the parents. It's not normal human activity. But our children are just being immersed in this type of thinking. I spoke last week that the leader of these demons that were in these two men, the leader is none other than Satan himself. And we looked in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, and saw him to be the leader of demonic spirits. Going further, they desire to thwart God's plans and purposes. Go with me to another passage, the book of Ephesians in your New Testament, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and looking at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Now, in the verse prior to it, just talks about the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What do these demonic spirits and the devil himself who leads them, what do they want to do? Do they want to put forth good things? Do they have good purposes in mind? No, they thwart God's plans and purposes at every chance they can get. And they've done this all the way since the very beginning. If you remember Adam and Eve, the story of them in the Garden of Eden, who was it that tempted them? I know it says a serpent, but it was the devil inside that serpent, speaking through that serpent to cause Eve to eat of that fruit of the tree. And then Adam made a choice to go with his wife in that disobedience, and therefore our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell into sin as a result of the temptation of the devil. And the devil hasn't changed one bit. And as you go through the Bible, you find that there's not only the devil, but there are fallen angels who fell in their rebellion against God along with Satan, also known as Lucifer or the devil. A whole host of angels. In fact, there's a passage which would indicate one third of all the angels that God created followed Satan in his rebellion against God. It says he drew one third of all the stars with him in his rebellion. That's in the book of Revelation. And so that's where all these evil spirits come from. That's why they're abound. That's why they're around. They influence and they even possess individuals, human beings, possess them. They get inside them and they begin to control the person. And they do very bad things, like these men. And they destroy lives. And they seek to thwart God's plans and purposes every step of the way. And we as believers live in a world in which Satan still is free to roam and do what he wants to do, along with his helper angels, you could say, his fallen angels. And they are busy at work in this world to keep people from following God's ways and God's salvation. Anything they can do to thwart it, they will do it. They seem to be inspired by lack of time and knowledge of a future judgment for themselves. Look at Matthew chapter 8, when they came out of the tombs. Look at there, verse 28, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Verse 29, and behold, they cried out saying, listen to what these demons within these two men say. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They seem to be inspired by lack of time and a future judgment to come upon them. Now, there's a verse in James, and I'll say, why don't you start moving toward the book of James, all right? It's right in front of the book of Revelation, so it's toward the back of your Bible. If you find the book of Hebrews, it's right after that. James chapter 2. and verse 19. You know, I meet a lot of people, many people who are not what you would say saved. They're not born again. But they think they are good enough to go to heaven because they say, well, I believe in God. I believe in God. And they kind of put that out to you like as if that's all you need to do in order to get to heaven someday, just to believe that there's a God. Well, I'm going to show you this verse here to tell you that just knowing there is a God is not assurance of your going to heaven. Okay, James chapter 2, verse 19. An interesting verse here. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You see, there's more to the matter of getting to heaven than just knowing that there's a God. Even a fool should know that there is a God. Looking at creation and everything out there, for you to believe that somehow evolution brought this all into being through a big bang that happened a long time ago, and then it blew out and everything evolved from that big bang. By the way, now you have to answer the question, where did the big bang come from? Where did the material that started that come from? Well, they don't have an answer for that, but, you know, it was just there. They're rejecting the existence of God. And you're a fool if you do that. But that's not enough alone for you to get to heaven. You need to know more about what God has done in order to provide a way for you to get to heaven. For even the devils believe that there's a God. They know it. And they tremble before the knowledge of a God. Because they're going to have a day of judgment with that God someday. For all their wicked acts in contradiction to that God. Their day of judgment's coming. So just saying, I believe in God is not enough for you to get to heaven. You have to believe what God did for you. He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die on the cross for your sins. And when you repent of your sin and say, I've been wrong, God. I've been going the wrong way. And now I know that Jesus took my sin. He being perfect took my sin and died for it on the cross. I now trust Him as my Savior. That's how you get saved. That's how you get to heaven. Through His Son. But these demons seem to be inspired by a lack of time and future judgment. You're there at James chapter 2. Go over, keep going to the right into the book of 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 4. Just take a few pages to the right from where you're at, and you'll get to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Look at what it says here. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now it's in a discussion talking about how God is going to judge evil. But just here in this verse, it says that God has judged angels and cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. The angels have a day of judgment coming. According to this verse, it teaches us that a certain amount of these fallen angels have already been chained and put in hell to await the judgment day. So it would appear from what you read in the scriptures that some of the angels are so bad, so wicked, that God can't even allow them to have freedom to roam around the earth. He has chained them up and put them in a place awaiting judgment. But there's another host of them that He does allow to roam freely, and they entered into these two men in the time of Christ and controlled them and caused these men to be doing very wicked and bad things. And now they come out as they're inside these two men, speaking through these men audibly as they face Jesus one day, and they think that He has come to do what He's done to the other angels, to judge them and cast them into hell. And they question Him and say, what do we have to do with thee, Jesus? Are you coming now to do the judgment? They seem to be aware that their day of judgment is coming, and they have a little bit of time. They don't have a whole lot of time. You're there at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Now go to the right a little bit more to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, that's right in front of Revelation. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, so you can miss it. Find Revelation, just get right in front of it. The book of Jude, verse 6. Again, angels are talked about here. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. And habitation means dwelling place. You know, when God made the angels, He created the angels, He had them in His very presence. That was their dwelling place, where they should be. And their job is to minister to God and to protect the holiness of God. That's their job. And to minister to the humans down on earth in a good way. That's their job. But they followed Satan in his rebellion against God. Satan wanted to be just like God. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will sit in His throne. He was rebelling against the very God who created him. Well, not only did he rebel, but he got a whole bunch of other angels to rebel with him, and they left their first habitation, their dwelling place around God. And what does it say? He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Now notice the next verse talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, how God judged them. Notice that, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So it's in the context of how God is judging sin and sinners, and He gives a little information in verse 6 about how He also judges evil angels, wicked fallen angels. So they seem to be inspired by lack of time and future judgment. You say, oh, why talk about that? Because people today are fooling around with demonic influence, thinking it's okay. It's just fun. I'll not get into it too deep. Oh, don't be fooled. These are evil spirits. And they have a time of judgment. And if they have a day of judgment, after which they're going to be cast into hell, why would you think that you can fool around with this influence and not be hurt by it? You're being foolish. And you need to avoid this. And our young people today are just fooling around with this and thinking it's a great time of fun and enjoyment. Who cares if I talk about Satan and do bad things and cut myself and pierce myself and do uncontrollable things and sing about Satan in my songs and stuff like that? Who cares? It's just a lot of fun. Well, that's just exactly what the devil wants you to think. You know, he's a deceiver, and he's deceiving you. And you need to turn to God and Christ and the Bible and go by the way of the cross and not by the way of Satan. The end times will be characterized by their increased activity. You say, well, that was back in the time of Jesus and he met those two men with demons in them. I don't think that's happening today. You're wrong. You're wrong again. You need to pay attention to the Bible here. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, I don't think we need to worry about that. Our kids are just fooling around with this, and it's not harmful. Well, let's bring the Bible into bear here, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now, the Spirit here is the Holy Spirit of God, all right? Speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. What I want you to see here is the Bible is telling us that in the latter times, some are going to depart from the faith, and that would be the faith of the Bible, the gospel story. And what are they going to give heed to? They're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And the word for devils there is, in the Greek, is demons, demones. That's where we get the English word demons from it. So in the last times, more and more people are going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. You know, as we continue down history here, and I believe as we continue down history, we're getting to the latter times. I believe we're in the last days. And one of the characteristics you will find in the last days, and if you see it to be happening, then know you're in the last days. More influence of demonic spirits and demonism and worship of Satan and witchcraft. All these things together are the things that are worshiping of Satan. If you see it happening more and more, know that we're in the last days. And this is all the more reason why you ought to be avoiding this influence that's in our world today. We need to be aware that these spirits can and do fight against and influence born-again Christians. Now, I do not believe that demons can possess a Christian. And the reason why I believe that is because when you get saved, a great work of God takes place. The Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells inside of you. And because He dwells there, evil spirits cannot. But that does not mean that they can't influence you from the outside if you allow them to. If you get away from the Bible and you get away from studying the Word of God and you get away from being impressed by the Holy Spirit of God in your daily walk, you could be influenced by the devil in his ways. And so it's imperative for you as a believer, if you know the Lord is your personal Savior, it's important for you to stay close to the Lord and be reading your Bible, so that you will know when the devil is coming your way and trying to trip you up and mess up your testimony. You'll be able to acknowledge it and see it for what it is and avoid it. Go with me again to Ephesians chapter 6. All right, so if you already found that before, maybe you can find it again. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, all right, he's talking to people who are saved. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, that's in your Bible. So the wiles of the devil, the craftiness of the devil, is not something to be laughed at, humored by. Oh, that's nothing. Let the kids fool around with that. That won't hurt them. No, we're told to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this isn't just fairy tales here in the Bible. This is what's really the truth. Verse 11, or verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, sometimes the believer thinks that most of our trouble is with people who just don't understand us and who don't like us and things like that. You know, it's deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Oh, I wish our neighbors would figure out how to be saved. I don't know why they don't know what the Bible's saying. And why are they against us Christians and things like that? You know, you're not really wrestling against people. You're wrestling against someone who's influencing them. And that's where the battle really lies. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's people. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the word high places is translated other places in the heavenlies. You know, it's not a small matter. What isn't a small matter? The work of the devil and his evil spirits. Not a small matter. Look at verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Well, where are you going to find truth? I believe it's right here in this book. Okay? There's where you're going to find truth, right here. It's not going to be Gary Freeman. It's got to be this book. Okay? That's where you'll find it. So get your loins girt about with truth. It's like the thing that holds all your clothes together. Men, you usually wear a belt, okay? Isn't it interesting that in the last days even belts are going out of style and the pants are coming way down, you know? Just throwing that out there for whatever you want to do with that. A belt will hold everything up in place. That's the truth of the Word of God. It's like a belt, and it holds everything in place so that you're not going to be taken advantage of by the devil. Continuing on, verse 14. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You need something covering your heart here. And the righteousness is not your own. It's the righteousness of Christ you need on you. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need something on your feet to protect yourself from the wiles of the devil. You know, it looks like we're actually arming a soldier for the battle here, doesn't it? He's got a girdle, he's got a breastplate, he needs something on his feet, which is the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need to know about the gospel, how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. You need to be well versed on that. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. All right, you got to stick a shield out there. Why? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, that's the devil. He's throwing fiery darts at you. Now, I know it's not literal. And I understand this not to be literal. But it's spiritual. There's spiritual wickedness going on, and the Christian needs to put that shield of faith. Hey, wait a minute. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible. I believe what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And the devil throws those, oh, are you sure? Maybe evolution is true. You know, there's a fiery dart. Boom! Put your shield up there. How do you know that Jesus rose up from the grave? Oh, man, put your shield up there. Because the Bible says so. And I know something else. He lives in my heart right now. And there's your shield of faith up there against those fiery darts of the devil. How can you trust the Bible? Maybe the Bible's a bunch of lies and legends. Oh, no, it's not. There's prophecies in the Old Testament that have been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And I also see prophecies being fulfilled right now in the world as we see it going. There's your shield of faith going up and your belt of the truth of the Word of God there holding everything. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Now you need something for your head. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You need a sword to protect yourself. You need a helmet on your head, the helmet of salvation. First of all, you know what? You're not going to be able to fight against and stand against the devil unless you've got the helmet of salvation on. Are you saved? If you're not saved, you're open game for the devil. But if you're saved, you have protection. And you can stand up against the wiles of the devil. So it looks like we just put all the armor on a soldier there. The Lord's telling us, Christian, you're in a battle against spiritual wickedness all around. And you need to put on the armor of God. And we need to do that. And this spiritual wickedness is very deceptive. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you how deceptive it can be. And how important it is for you to know your Bible real good. So that when you see false teaching going on, you can say, whoa, wait a minute. I better go according to the Bible. not according to a false teacher. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll see how deceitful the work of the devil is. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, don't be surprised at this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Wow. Here, Satan will even transform himself and his ministers, those who serve him, to appear to be ministers of righteousness, when in actuality they are teaching contrary to the doctrine of the cross, doctrine of salvation, and teaching you that if all you need to do is be as good as you can. Be nice to your neighbor, help old ladies across the street, you know, throw your coat down in a mud puddle for some lady to walk on so she doesn't get mud on her. And, you know, you do nice things like this, you'll get to heaven. They're ministers of righteousness, but you know what? They're of the devil. Because that is not the way to heaven. Because no matter how much good you can do as a sinner, you're lost. You're a sinner. And you need to be saved from your sin. It's not a matter, well, I'm going to promise God that I'm going to start being a good boy and a good girl. Well, you can try and be as good as you can, but you're still going to fall and fail and sin. You know what you need? You don't need reformation. You need salvation. Reformation won't work. Salvation, meaning you need to be saved from your sin. That's what works. Because isn't Jesus called the Savior? We call him Savior for a reason. He saves people from their sin. And that's what you need. So don't think that this whole matter of spiritual wickedness isn't something you ought to pay attention to. You ought to. One more place. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I'll end this here. 1 John chapter 4. That's right, pretty close to the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And the next phrase is very important. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil and his spirits are in the world. Who is this one greater than the spirits of this world? It's the Holy Spirit of God who comes and dwells into the life of the believer the day you get saved. You know, when people think of the devil, you know what they think he looks like? He's red all over. He's got a little steam coming out. He's got two pointy things on his head, you know. Horns. He's got two horns. And he's got a tail with a sharp arrow on the end of it. And he walks around and he really looks mean and nasty and everything. That's the furthest from the truth that you can possibly get. The Bible, and it's in Isaiah chapter 14, if you want to read it on your own someday. In Isaiah chapter 14, it teaches us that Satan, who's also called Lucifer in the passage, is the most beautiful creation God ever made. So he who has deceived everybody into thinking he's red hot, and he walks around with us, he's got a pitchfork, you know, and he's going to stab people and make life miserable for them. He has deceived everybody into thinking that he's like that, when in actuality, he is the most beautiful angel creature that God has ever made. He's beautiful. And that's not what the world thinks. He's got them all fooled. He is not someone to fool around with. And I would encourage you not to spend one more day being able to be possessed by this man, the devil, and his demons. But trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That day back there in Matthew chapter 8, the demons addressed Christ correctly. They said, "Jesus, thou Son of God." Isn't it something? Even the devils know who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. How about you? Have you acknowledged Him as the Son of God? You need to. You say, "How do I know He's the Son of God?" Well, even the devils know He's the Son of God. And someday He's going to deal with them in judgment. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as the Son of God who came into this world to die on the cross for your sin, you need to do that. It establishes who Jesus is. The testimony of these demons testify to who Jesus Christ is. And they knew He was come for some kind of reason. Well, He was going to cast them out of these two men. And these two men would thereafter be a testimony to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save men from the power of the devil. And so they, knowing that He was going to cast them out, said, "Hey, would it be all right if we go into that herd of swine over there?" See, that's why the teaching is they need a body in order to do their work. So that's why they're seeking to possess people. Don't you think that, "Well, that'll never happen to me." You're the very one that they're going to try and get. Because you're deceived already into thinking that it won't ever happen to you. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life. You need Him as your Savior. The Lord said to them, "Go." And all those demons, and the Bible teaches in the other accounts that it was a legion, a number that represents a great army, a legion of army men. There were many men inside, many demons inside these two men. And they left these men and they went in and entered into the bodies of the pigs. And that herd of swine, pigs, ran violently down a hill right into the water and they all drowned. Now, that's not normal for pigs, okay? That's not the normal thing that pigs do. I hardly ever even seen a pig go swimming ever. But when these demons entered in, caused such turmoil, even in the lives of those pigs, that they went mad and together, as a herd, ran violently down. How do you run violently? It must be that they were ripping and tearing each other apart to try to be the first into the water. Ran violently down the hill. I mean, everybody's watching this. That happened because Jesus said, "Go to the spirits that were in these two men." Just two men? A whole herd of swine was affected by the entrance of these evil spirits into their bodies, and down they went and drowned in the water. Well, the demons were cast out into the swine. And then what happened? Now, in the other accounts, it talks more about the men, how that they were now, or the man was now in his right mind, and he was clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and everything was fine with the man. In this account, the keepers of the swine went back into the city and said, "Hey, you should have seen what this guy just did out there. His name is Jesus. He cast out demons out of these two men." You know those two men? Yeah, the two guys up in the tombs? Yeah. The two guys that can't be controlled? Yeah. The two guys whose lives are miserable out there? Yeah. He cast out the demons out of them. They went into our herd of swine, and they all went down into the water and drowned.
What kind of guy do you think that is?
The whole city came out to meet Jesus. And verse 34, I'm back in Matthew 8, verse 34. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. It's interesting. People don't want Jesus today. Many today do not care that a soul has been saved and changed. They do not want such a power among them. What kind of power? The power to change a man from a lost sinner to a newborn creature in Christ Jesus with new desires, new life, changing from the old man he was without Christ to the new man he is in Christ. People don't want that. They like their sin. Give me a little religion, but let my life alone. I want to do what I want to do, you know. No, Jesus is interested in saving you from your sin. He doesn't just want to give you a little religion so that you can keep on in your sin and then somehow think you're going to heaven at the same time. No, he wants to save your lost soul and change your life for the honor and glory of the Lord. That's what he wants to do. But they would rather go on as they always have in their sin. Well, you wish those two guys still had the demons in them and our herd didn't drown in the water. In fact, this man has such power, we're afraid to have him around here. Jesus, would you please depart out of our coast and go somewhere else? What a response to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save those two men from the influence of demonic activity in their hearts and lives. They would rather have those two men still running around naked and fierce, violent, cutting themselves. Nobody can control them. Put chains on them, they break the chains. They'd rather have that happening than to have the herd of swine drown in the water. Well, I ask you, which would you rather have? The influence of Satan or the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life? I'd recommend take Jesus. Take him. Let him be your Savior. Let him save you from sin. Let him give you a new life in Christ. That's the way you ought to go. And I hope you'll do that. If you've never done it, do it. Do what? Repent of your sin and let Jesus Christ save you from your sin. Very much the same way he delivered those men from demonic influence that day and made them brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. You know, they didn't have to tie them up anymore. They didn't have to worry about them cutting themselves anymore. They were now disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other gospels say that the man actually wanted to go with Jesus as his disciple from then on. And the Lord said, no, you just stay right here and tell everybody what wonderful things God has done for you. And they did that. How about you? Are you ready to give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him save your lost soul? Do it. Well, did you do it? Yes, I did. When I was 11 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I'll never regret it. I'm glad I'm saved. How about you? You saved? You going to heaven? You know where you're going to spend eternity? If not, let Jesus save your soul today. Jason, how about come? And let's sing this song in invitation here. 539 in your hymn book. 539. Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? 539 in your hymn book. Listen to the words as we sing it. If you're here today and need help, want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the old-fashioned invitation. Just come down, meet me down at the front here. We'll have someone help you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Number 539. Let's stand as we sing. If you need to make a decision, make it today.
While we pray and while we plead, while you see your souls in need, while our Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
way to live for the Lord. Help us to put on the whole armor of God like we learned today so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And help us to preach the good news so that people can be saved from sin and unto heaven, eternal life in heaven, through faith in Jesus Christ. Help us to spread the good news wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.